Why did Republicans lose so badly in the November elections, and how can the grand old party recover from those losses? How do Republicans heal divisions and win again? Former GOP presidential candidate Mike Huckabee will give us his take in this half hour, and will answer your questions about what he learned on the campaign trail, and we'll also wonder if he will be on the campaign trail again in 2012. Mike Huckabee is with us for just the next 20 minutes or so, so call early, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Mike Huckabee served as governor of Arkansas from 1996 to 2007. He ran for president in 2008, and he is the author of the new book, Do the Right Thing, Inside the Movement That's Bringing Common Sense Back to America. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. I'm having a little dip. Hearing is cutting in and out. I hope it stabilizes here. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, we can hear you for now. I hope so, too. I saw you just recently playing your bass guitar on your new show on the Fox News Channel. Are you having fun with that?
Well, I'm having a great time. And part of what I have been a major proponent of is music and art education for every kid in America. We did that in my state when I was governor. And it's sort of a subtle way for me to promote that music and the arts are a critical part of raising up a creative generation. But sometimes people may watch me play and say, it didn't work that well with you. Maybe you need some more lessons. But we're having a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, it looks like it. The Republican Party's not having a lot of fun, though, these days, is it? A lot of soul-searching going on regarding what went wrong in the November elections? Governor Huckabee, what went wrong in the November elections for Republicans? Let's try to reestablish contact, maybe, or see if there's anything we can do to, maybe if we call back, we can get a little better connection. We still hear the buzz of the cell phone, but apparently Governor Huckabee can't hear me. The show, by the way, that Governor Huckabee hosts is called Huckabee, and you can see it on the Fox News Channel Saturday nights. Let me give our numbers once again at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Coming up after 7:30, by the way, we will be talking with a political analyst about more on the future of the Republican Party, and maybe talk some about the candidates that might be running in 2012. Have we reestablished? Why don't we take our break right now, and then we will see if we can get Governor Huckabee back on the line. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Mike Huckabee for this half hour, former Republican presidential candidate and former governor of the state of Arkansas, author of the book Do the Right Thing. And let's see if we have established a little better contact with Mike Huckabee. Are you there?
I am, Joy.
Oh,
I hope
good.
It's going to work a little better this time. The marvels of technology don't always cooperate.
I know. And I know you're on the road. You're on a book tour with your new book. And I understand on your book tour, you're getting swamped from supporters and fans who want you to run again in 2012. Are you going to?
Oh, it's way too early to start talking about that. I need to get through this book tour and see if I can survive it. We're doing 56 cities in about 2.5 weeks. Over 13,000 miles. We have a big tour bus that we're on, and so we're doing sometimes as many as 4 and 5 book signings a day. The good news for us is there is an extraordinary level of interest in this book, and we've had anywhere from 300 to 800 people line up at the bookstores wherever we've been. Hit number 5 in the New York Times bestseller list its first week, so the message is certainly getting through to some people, and I think regardless of a person's politics, even if they are polar opposite, they'll find the book fascinating and sort of a nice peek behind the scenes of what really happens in a campaign.
Yeah, and it was interesting to read about how, for instance, you really didn't expect to win the Iowa caucuses, and what do you know you did?
Well, we began to feel momentum in the days just prior, but we thought it would be an extraordinary tight race and really couldn't be sure that we were going to win because we were being outspent about 15-1 by Mitt Romney's campaign, and it was really pretty daunting to face that challenge. every second on television seemed like was an ad that was, you know, going on against us. But Iowa is a really grassroots state. People there are politically savvy. They've been through all this before. They drilled down deep in the candidates. We ended up winning by 7 points, and it was a dramatic victory and a beginning of a great run for us.
Yeah. I know you say it's too early to speculate whether you'll be running in 2012, but you're seeing headlines all over the place. Here's one from CNN. Is Romney the man to save the GOP in 2012? So people are talking about who's going to run in 2012 already. Is Romney the man to save the GOP in 2012?
Well, I'm probably not the best guy to ask that question.
Well, what's your opinion?
I didn't think he was the best man this time, and it's not a personal thing, but the problem that Mitt brought to his own campaign was that his positions that he ran with in this election were polar opposite of all the things he'd ever run on before. And I think people look for, more than anything else in a candidate, they look for some level of credibility and consistency. They want to know that you don't have to agree with them, but they want to believe that you agree with yourself and that there's some things deep inside of you that you so believe that you're willing to stand and you're willing to win with them, but you're also willing to lose with them because they're important enough to you as core convictions that you're not going to change just in order to play to a vote. And that's one of the reasons I think that so many people are cynical about politics.
It was way back when going to be Rudy Giuliani's race. He was going to win for the GOP. Of course, Hillary Clinton was supposed to win for the Democrats. But what happened? What happened to the Republican Party, not only in the race for President Mike Huckabee, but with the losses in the races for Congress as well?
Well, Joy, it's really pretty simple in that if you advertise a product and people purchase it and they don't get what they thought they were getting, they'll shop elsewhere the next time. And Republicans lost because they deserved to. They promised they would balance budgets and fix the economy and police corruption, that they would serve competently and govern well and govern efficiently and effectively without a lot of extra cost and bureaucracy. Republicans also said they would stick true to some old-fashioned values that they would champion. Truth is, they got in office, they spent like crazy, indebted future generations to trillions of dollars, did not police corruption in an effective or credible way. Pieces of clear mismanagement of government, such as Katrina, just cost them all credibility. And we went from being a party that won majorities in governorships and state legislatures in the House and the Senate and the White House to being a party that if we don't sort of get our groove back, and that's what my book really focuses on, and we're going to be a party of a bunch of angry old white guys sitting around the country club puffing cigars, talking about the good old days, but being about as important as the Whig Party is today.
Well, what about those hockey moms like Sarah Palin?
Sarah Palin represents an important part of the Republican constituency, and that is there are a lot of people who just want government to get off their backs and leave them alone, let them raise their kids. They want to go out and work, earn a paycheck, and know that at least a good portion of it they'll actually have to spend on their families and not cough up most of it to an ever-growing government that gobbles up everything they earn. It's sort of the salt of the earth. I call them in my book the HWMC, the hardworking middle class, and I describe what makes them different and why Republicans have lost them. And there's a chapter in there called Let Them Buy Stocks that talks about some of the growing insensitivity of people within the establishment of the Republican Party, who in many ways resemble more of an elitist group who, and I say it this way, it's not just enough that they don't really pay attention to these people. They don't even realize they're there, and that's what makes it worse.
We have lots of callers who want to talk with you. Let's go to the phones. Our first caller is Tom in Mequon. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Governor Huckabee, it seems to me that the Reagan Democrats have left the party, and that the reason that is that as a working person, even though I am a conservative, I don't see any pro-working people ethics or outcomes from the Republican Party for a long time, now, really starting with Reagan. But with all the deregulation that has happened, like in housing, credit cards, banking—it's all been against working people, until the Republican Party becomes a friend of the working person instead of the enemy, they're never going to get back in. is my thought.
What's your thought, Michael?
Tom, you're right, and in fact, that's what my book focuses on in at least two of the chapters. One is the one I mentioned earlier, another one's called Politically Homeless. And in both of those chapters, I specifically relate how the Republican Party has got to get back to being representative of policies that help every person up and down the economic spectrum. What we're seeing right now with all the talk of government bailouts, here's the ultimate irony. I was a part, as a governor in the 1990s, of helping lead and develop welfare reform. Wisconsin's former governor and a close friend of mine, Tommy Thompson, was one of the architects of that plan. The idea was you don't give people money for not working. You don't reward their, inconsistency of labor. So you provide money for training, you provide money for productivity, but not for inactivity. Well, that was very effective and successful. It actually helped to the economy. Now we have a Republican Party that's being a participant in this government bailout scheme, which is nothing more than a huge welfare check for the biggest and most financially successful corporations in the world. It's ridiculous to think that the people driving cabs and lifting luggage out of the airport are going to be paying more out of their paycheck so that they can put fuel in the Gulf Stream for the CEO of the car companies to go to Washington and ask for money, or the executives of AIG can fly out to California and have tennis games and back rubs at the taxpayer expense. The Republican Party has got to get its groove back, if you will. It's got to come back to a place where it represents everybody, and that its primary goal is a sense of equity, not a sense of specialness for the elite.
Yeah, Mike Huckabee, are you saying, though, that we can solve our financial crisis, a global financial crisis, without these bailouts?
We most certainly can. In fact, the bailouts are doing nothing but exacerbating the problem. Every bailout we do, we're told, oh, if we don't do this, the markets will crash. So we do a bailout, and what happens? The market crashes even more. Markets haven't stabilized, and if you think about it, why should they? Who's going to invest in something the government's about to take over? It'd be like asking a stockholder to go buy oil fields in Venezuela, knowing that Hugo Chavez is about to take them up. And if you then invest in the company that happens to be the one that the government didn't bail out, the one you invested in, maybe the one that folds up. So the government should never be in the business of picking the winners and losers in the marketplace. It shouldn't be deciding who lives and who dies. We've got a lot of structural problems in the economy. These are not cyclical problems. It's not a matter of, well, we just need to sort of prime the pump and put some fuel in the tank. We got a bad motor. And what I talk about in my book is that the tax structure that we have, which penalizes productivity and subsidizes irresponsibility, has to be replaced. And I know that's a big change, but we need a big change. We're living in a very different kind of economy than we were when our parents were running things in this country, and we can no longer sit back and just say, let's keep somehow muddling through 67,000 pages of an impossible-to-understand Internal Revenue Service tax code. Get rid of it. Jettison this whole idea of corporate and individual tax and tax on savings and investment and capital gains. Go to a consumption tax in the underground economy, bring American investment back to the U.S. If people have never heard about the fair tax and how it works and how it empowers people at the bottom, I urge them to read my book and read the chapter on the fair tax, and I think they'll realize there's a better plan than a government bailout out there.
Our next caller is Daniel in Rice Lake. Hi, Daniel. You're on the air.
Hello. When the Republicans controlled both the executive and legislative branches, which is a rare event, they did virtually nothing to limit abortion or overturn Roe versus Wade. Isn't it time for a third party that truly is against abortion?
Well, I think the Republican Party still has an opportunity to be the leaders in the sanctity of life. And I also believe it's important, because I'm unapologetically and unflinchingly pro-life. One of the things we have to do is to explain to the American public the why of the sanctity of life and pro-life position. And it's broader than just abortion. It really comes down to this simple question. Can a human being own another human being? And I think the fundamental answer that every American would say is no. Well, we settled that after the slavery debate of the Civil War. Of course we did. Well, the issue of abortion is really the broader issue of euthanasia. It's the issue of how do we treat each other. And I would just point out that some people who defend the idea of taking an innocent life because it's an economic interference or interruption or it creates a social distraction for the biological mother. I want you to think long and hard about what that's really saying, because if we teach the generation coming up behind us that we can terminate a life because it represents an economic inconvenience, then when that generation is taking care of us in our old years, we've already taught them that it's okay for them to terminate us because we, at that point, will in fact represent an economic interruption and interference to their lives. We need to think about the implications of the sanctity of life issue far broader than simply in terms of the gestation period.
Thanks to Daniel. Our next caller is Renee in East Troy. Hi, Renee.
Hi. Oh, it's just a pleasure to speak with Governor Huckabee. I've been a fan of yours for a long time, and I want to tell you that I know the winning ticket in 2012. It'll be Huckabee and Stephen Colbert.
Why do you
well,
say that?
I tried
that?
To get him to be my running mate this time, Renee, and you know, he thought he was going to go down there and run on his own in South Carolina, then found out that if he actually said that on the air, it subjected him to all the rules of McCain-Feingold and the FEC laws. And pretty soon he decided, whoa, this is serious business. it was kind of funny in a way. Stephen's a good friend, and he's hilarious and one of the great talents in the business today.
Yes, I agree. But that's my opinion. You'd be a winner.
All right, Renee.
Okay, Renee, thank you.
Thank you very much. I also read, Governor Huckabee, that not only are you on your book tour, but you're doing a little campaigning for Saxby Chambliss in the runoff election that he faces today.
Absolutely, Joy. It's a big election, and I think not just for the Republican Party, but for the country. And the reason is if the Democrats were to have a filibuster-proof Senate, we lose one of the most important aspects of American government, and that is the checks and the balances. And our founders had an idea that things ought to operate fairly slowly, that you shouldn't be able to rush things through so that we don't make big mistakes. If President Obama had a clear majority in the House and then had a filibuster-proof Senate, there's really no backstop. It's not the kind of government that probably operates best. And we really hope that Saxby Chambliss will pull it out. Polls as of yesterday look good in his favor. If the Republicans will just go out and vote there, I think it's going to be a Chambliss victory.
Yeah. Well, we will leave it there. Thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate your time.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Joy. Thank you very much. And I hope people, if they haven't seen the book at their bookstore, will go to Amazon.com. They can get it there. And I think regardless of their politics, they'll find it an interesting read.
It was. Mike Huckabee is the author of Do the Right Thing Inside the Movement That's Bringing Common Sense Back to America. We will talk more about the future of the Republican Party. Coming up after the news, we will welcome in a political analyst from UW-Marathon County to talk about other possible presidential contenders in 2012. And if you didn't get enough of Mike Huckabee this morning, you can listen tonight on Point after 7 o'clock. Mike Huckabee will talk about the Republican Party in the Obama era. So you can catch more of his wit and wisdom tonight at 7 o'clock during On Point. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Continuing our discussion about the future of the GOP and welcoming your questions for our political analyst. Eric Giordano is a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Marathon County. Our number is 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And Professor Giordano joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. We just heard from Mike Huckabee, former Republican presidential candidate, who told us Republicans deserve to lose in 2008, that they were irresponsible and reckless with spending in particular, and that's why Republicans suffered big losses in November. Is that why?
Well, obviously, Joy, because they didn't vote for Mike Huckabee in the primaries. But didn't it sound like he was back on the stump? That's what it sounded like to me. But, you know, to some extent, you know, there is this sense within the party that that this loss was partly result of getting away from traditional Republican principles. Low taxes, cutting spending, walking the walk on ending corruption. I think Mike Huckabee talked about that, and others have talked about that. Efficiency in governing, I think we heard Mike Huckabee say that. And also this idea somehow that the Republican Party is the party of ideas and solutions, and somehow the conservatives got away from a consistent message of conservative principles being applied to problems.
So is that the answer for the GOP that's doing its soul searching, that just to get back to, you know, cutting spending and lower taxes and conservative values, and you'll turn things around?
I think if you look across the board at Republican candidates or potential future candidates, that seems to be the consistency of the message. That and, you know, let's invoke the Reagan legacy at every opportunity. You know, that's the vision of leadership and positive attitude that we need for the future. But, of course, circumstances sometimes intervene. I mean, you know, McCain faced the perfect storm against him. You know, as a candidate, he had a formidable candidate opponent in Barack Obama, an historic African-American candidate. He faced an association with a president with extremely low approval ratings. And, of course, there was the September surprise of the economic meltdown. And even then, he still got 46% of the vote. So the Republicans, even though they may appear to be doing some soul searching, as is natural after this type of defeat, I think they're going to rebound, going back to some of their core values.
Yeah, I just saw President Bush on an interview yesterday with Charlie Gibson on ABC, and he was asked if Barack Obama's election was a repudiation or rejection of him, President Bush, and he said, no, it was a repudiation of Republicans. What do you think?
I don't know. That's a tough statement to make. I can understand why he made it. I'm not sure even most Republicans want to agree with him on that issue. I think many Republicans, obviously, and independence-leaning Republican, you know, who went to the Obama camp, really do put a lot of the blame at the feet of President Bush.
Well, I did ask Mike Huckabee if, you know, he was thinking of running in 2012, and of course he made the obligatory, it's far too early to say. He's definitely on the list of those who are eyeing 2012, is he not?
Absolutely. I mean, you can just tell in his language, you know, he's doing a book tour, but of course he's pumping the fists and encouraging people to get back to traditional values. I think he was, you know, he was building momentum as the primary wound down. So maybe with a little more time, you know, he could have done better. But I definitely expect him to be on, you know, in the mix next election cycle.
Yeah, and we'll talk about some other people who will probably be in the mix. A lot of attention is being paid to Sarah Palin, Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, and indeed she, along with Mike Huckabee, were in Georgia campaigning for Saxby Chambliss, the Republican Senate candidate, in that runoff today. So Sarah Palin is eyeing 2012 as well?
Well, you know, if you listen to GOP insiders, most will say things like, she's definitely going to be in the conversation. You know, she will be a political force in the future. But, you know, how that will translate into her ability to make a serious run for president, that's a questionable issue. I mean, she was a polarizing figure even within the party and certainly outside the party. But, you know, a lot of people wrote off Hillary Clinton after the the Clinton years in the White House, and she rebounded and proved herself to be a very strong person and a very strong candidate. Now, does Sarah Palin have that same ability? I'm not sure, but she'll definitely be in the conversation in the future.
Yeah, and did she damage her image even more, though, or maybe too much with that latest incident in front of press conference in front of the turkey slaughter?
Yeah, I think that, you know, she's definitely seems to find a way to put her foot in her mouth and to come across as maybe a little bit outside of the sort of political mainstream, the ability to sort of keep your cool and say the right things at the right times. But you know, if she can learn the ropes as she goes on in the next 4 years, people do seem to be attracted to her. You know, I'm not sure. I think there are other candidates that seem to be better positioned, but I wouldn't completely count her out.
Yeah, an article that I'm looking at from yesterday is wondering if Mitt Romney is the man to save the GOP in 2012, especially because of his money knowledge and knowledge of economics, given the troubling times that we are in. Mitt Romney, a strong contender for 2012?
Those who are familiar with Mitt Romney say that he came out of the primaries, even though he lost, ready to move forward for 2012. That, you know, he clearly built a base. He also, to some extent, built momentum as he went along, although, he had some issues of trying to survive the accusation, as Huckabee was again pointing out, that maybe he had flip-flopped on a few issues. But, you know, he's a great fundraiser. He still has a war chest. He's going to increase that. He's already, some suggest, positioning himself for 2012.
Yeah. Who else? Is there somebody else that a lot of people are talking about?
Well, you know, let's talk about some younger faces, and let's talk about, you know, the future of the GOP. Some have suggested that really for the Republicans to get back on track, they may need to go into the ranks, you know, of the governors and some new blood, as they say. For example, a lot of people are eyeing Bobby Jindal, the Louisiana governor. Mm-hmm. He's 37 years old. But, you know, he's articulate, and he, by the way, he's Indian American, which is something very interesting. And some see him as, you know, a great spokesperson, and he's, you know, reciting the post-election mantra of returning to cutting spending, low taxes, walking the walk in any corruption, efficiency in governing, etc. So he's someone to watch out for. Whether he's a presidential material or maybe potential vice presidential material, some say he was on the short list for McCain, he's someone to watch.
In fact, he was in Iowa just recently, so that indicates that he's already on the stump.
That's right, or at least, you know, setting the stage, if you will. Some have argued that Tim Pawlenty from Minnesota is a rising star, as many of us here in the Midwest have heard. So people are saying to watch him. Another might be Charlie Crist, the Florida governor. Since 2006. He's 52 years old. He's a possibility. Some have said to keep a lookout for Eric Cantor, who's a fiscally conservative member of the House from Virginia, Richmond, who may also be running for a minority whip position. He's 45 years old, you know, sort of a newer face. The governor of South Carolina, Mark Sanford, has been on the lips of some GOP insiders. Maybe Haley Barbour from Mississippi.
Well, he's not exactly young blood.
No. And then finally, if you really want to stretch it, and we could also throw in Newt Gingrich as a possibility, Rudy Giuliani, I don't know. But here are a couple of names, if you want to talk about potential female candidates, which I think the GOP is really trying to reach out and build some bridges towards in the future. You have Carly Fiorina, who's the former chief executive of Hewlett-Packard and was a close McCain advisor, and Meg Whitman, the ex-CEO of eBay, who was with the Romney camp in the primaries and then joined the McCain camp as McCain went forward in the general election.
Let's check our weather forecast, and then we will talk more with our guest about the future of the Republican Party. We just heard from Mike Huckabee in our first half hour, who wrote a book about what went wrong with the Republicans this year in terms of election losses and how the GOP can get back on track. We are talking with our guest about how that might happen and who is thinking already of 2012. Eric Giordano is a professor of political science at UW-Marathon County. Our number, if you have a question for him, 1-800-642-1234. What do you think the GOP should do to recover from its losses? Who do you think might be eyeing 2012 for a run for president? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're tuned to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. About 12 minutes before 8 o'clock now on this Tuesday, December the 2nd, coming up after 8, we will welcome in Roy Blunt Jr., one of the panelists of the NPR quiz show Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. We'll talk with him about words, their roots, combinations, usage. Roy Blunt is author of the new book, Alphabet Juice, and you can talk with him coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about the future of the Republican Party with Eric Giordano, professor of political science at UW-Marathon County. Our first caller for this segment is Steve in Houston, Texas. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. This is a comment I had actually for Mike Huckabee, but a little bit too late coming on. And that is, I think the Republican Party really, you know, has been waging a war for the last 8 years. And I think a lot of the world, we've alienated a lot of our allies and friends around the world, has become a war against Islam. I think Colin Powell said it best when he had the famous question is, you know, what's wrong with being a Muslim in America? And that kind of sums it up, my comment, that I think, you know, we're coming to an anniversary of Abraham Lincoln, the man who freed the slaves, who is attributed with giving African Americans the rights, you know, they have today. I think that's why Barack Obama honors him so much. And I think that, you know, American and the Republican Party needs to really reach out to other faiths in America, to other religions. My wife and I do a lot of interfaith work here in Houston, and that is the future. If you look at Bobby Jindal, that represents the future. If you look at the Hispanic community, which have very, very strong traditional family values. Most of the immigrants that I know have strong, what I would say, conservative, even pro-Republican, call them what you want, family values, and the Republican Party has a lot more in common with them than the Democratic Party, which seems to be, you know, focused on gay rights and union membership. And I think that the Republicans need to get back to that and get away from waging war. I think we lost this election, and the president said it best, because we're become a nation at war with the world. And it's a disaster.
All right, let me get our guest in on this. Professor Giordano, a couple of different themes there. The Republicans have to get away from being the party of war was one of them. What about that?
Right. Well, I think your caller makes an interesting point. It may not be recognized as the mainstream of what it means to be a Republican or a conservative in this country, but if we think about, you know, overlapping circles of the basis of the core of the Republican Party, you know, we're really talking about three legs or three circles. We've got social conservatives, we have sort of economic conservatives, and then there's a smaller group that we might just call foreign policy realists, those who want strong defense and strong defense used for national interests, and national interests narrowly defined. And, you know, when Bush first was running and coming into office before 9/11, if we look at some of the writings of Condoleezza Rice and other people who ended up in the Bush administration, we see that, you know, they were responding in a way against the Clinton administration's use of force for idealistic concerns. They were more interested in, you know, yes, perhaps more unilateralism in foreign policy, but also using, you know, strong defense in a traditional Kissingerian sort of realist sense, only in the pursuit of clear and vital national interests. But then, of course, 9/11 happened, and everything changed. The neoconservatives took over, held sway, began to, you know, preach the doctrine of preemptive force, and, you know, and it's true. I mean, America did get away, and the conservatives themselves got away from sort of this traditional, more realist foreign policy. Now, you know, that so your caller makes a very interesting point, and so some people within the party are saying, you know, in terms of foreign policy, you know, just from a GOP perspective, we need to get back to sort of that strong on defense, but use of defense, you know, as a negotiating tool, as a bargaining tool, not for preemption.
Yeah, what about reaching out to other faiths and not being so, I guess, anti-Muslim?
I think this is huge for the GOP. I'm not sure that they're so worried about getting the Muslim American vote at this point, but I do think that we have to look at what's happened, you know, in this last election. In particular, let's look at the Latino-Latina vote. You know, in 2004, Bush captured about 53% of the Latino vote. I'm sorry, Bush captured 44% to Kerry's 53%. But in this latest election between Obama and McCain, Obama captured 67% to 31% for McCain. So we've seen a rise in Latino voting, and in particular a rise in Latino voting for the Democratic candidate. And if that is going to be, you know, a trend for the future, the Republicans could be in trouble. They need to reach out to other races, other groups, if they're going to be able to challenge the Democrats.
Our next caller is Doug in Milwaukee. Hi, Doug. You're on the air.
Hi. What I think that I would like them to focus on is I would like the Republican Party maybe to focus on the government's business and not the public's business at all at the federal level.
What do you mean?
I mean, gays, abortion, steroid in baseball. You know, maybe the Republicans should leave those kind of things to the states and focus on things like trade laws, defense, balancing the budget.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe the government should focus its attention on the government and not on the public.
Republicans getting too involved in our personal lives, Professor Giordano?
Well, I think the caller makes an interesting point. I think the problem, though, is that the conservative base at the moment really is, aside from the foreign policy circle, you've got two primary core constituencies. You've got, the social values and the value voter constituency, and you have the fiscal economic conservative constituency, and they do overlap. They're not mutually exclusive, but there really is an internal sort of debate going on which takes priority. And I think for the success of the party, they're going to have to find a way to get back to sort of a reconciliation between these two factions. And I think Mike Huckabee tried to make the case that he is a person that can do that. You know, he's conservative on the social values, but he also believes in fiscal responsibility. And so candidates like that, you might see, finding great appeal in the party.
And we will go now to Mark in Madison. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
I just kind of want to echo what the previous callers mentioned about getting back to the traditional roots of Republicanism, and I think that's why the Republicans didn't win. McCain isn't a true Republican. But I want to ask the professor what his view is on Dr. Ron Paul running again and what the Republicans are doing to bring him and his followers back into the Republican Party. If you remember correctly, he was the only candidate during the debates to accurately state that we are in a recession, and from the news yesterday he was spot on. So
Ron Paul was a phenomenon. What about him, Professor Giordano?
Well, I think he definitely represented certain values that are core to what the GOP is all about. In particular, the sort of libertarian impulse that does capture a certain percentage of the GOP. Some have said as high as 20% of those who lean right, tend to have sort of libertarian tendencies, sort of along the lines of Ron Paul. I think that the fact that he was able to really get some national attention and capture at least the imagination of a certain percentage suggests that the Republican Party does need to really worry about things like overreaching on foreign policy. I think that's one area. I think another would be to, make sure that government is getting back to the fiscal conservatism that the GOP has always sort of espoused. Of course, it's very difficult in sort of an economic recession. I mean, even going back to Reagan, we see that, during the recession of the 80s, he didn't exactly, you know, close the spigot. He opened the spigot. I guess the difference was is that he opened it on military spending, among other things, and that sort of endeared him back to the party. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Republicans do this balancing act between getting back to fiscal conservatism if, in 2012, you know, we're still not out of the doldrums economically.
We have less than a minute. Very briefly, a caller wants to know what you think of his idea the GOP should condemn President Bush before he leaves office.
I think they already have. I'm just not sure it's been made official. Yeah. I think the election pretty much sealed that. You know, I do feel like if you listen anyway to what Republicans are saying, you know, even hardcore conservatives, they don't have a lot of love lost for the outgoing president.
Mm-hmm. We'll leave it there. Thank you very much for being with us again. We'll talk to you soon.
It was great. Thank you.
Eric Giordano, professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin, Marathon County. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this hour. Thanks to Carmen Jackson for producing the half hour with Mike Huckabee. And thank you for joining us. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster for on-air direction. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.